You're listening to the BBC Trending podcast. We tell in-depth stories which have their origins in the world of social media. I'm Jonathan Griffin. This week, we're inside the disinformation war over the conflict in Syria. With reporting on the ground difficult, who can you trust online to bring you the truth? BBC Trending has unearthed very influential accounts with thousands of followers who push conspiracy theories. We'll name them and spell out our findings shortly. Plus, we look into claims social media is contributing to rising crime between young people. Authorities in the UK say social media is fueling an escalation in knife attacks. We'll find out more. Lots to talk about, so let's begin. Now for a different take on a big story that you've probably heard a lot about recently, the conflict in Syria and intervention by Russia and the West. There was an alleged chemical weapons attack earlier this month in the town of Douma, and that was followed by bombing by Western countries. As we're recording this, chemical weapons inspectors are trying to get into Douma. But Mike Wendling has been looking into the conflicts from a different perspective. You've been looking at the information and misinformation that's been flowing back and forth online.
That's right, Jonathan. And let me just point out right away that just like on the ground in Syria, the online propaganda conflict has numerous actors. It's highly confusing. It's highly complex. It's extremely hard to tell what's real and what's not. However, we've been zooming in on one particular group of activists. Despite all the uncertainty, despite the investigation you just mentioned now, these people are certain that what they believe is the truth.
And you've been spending a little bit of time digging into this, haven't you? And sort of outlining the key characters online. Who are they?
Yes, quite a bit of time, actually. And to tell you the story, I'm going to talk you through just one Twitter account.
Okay.
Although one that's actually one of the most influential when it comes to part of the Syrian conflict online. Let me show you this picture.
Okay, so what I'm seeing is a young woman wearing a bright red dress. It looks like a typical kind of holiday picture, like you'd get on Instagram. Loads of people upload this kind of picture.
Yeah,
all the time.
Quite a
selfie,
a stylish shot.
Yeah,
she's sitting on some steps.
Sure,
floral print dress. And this particular account, her name, by the way, is Sarah Abdallah. This particular account posts many of these pictures, just Sarah by herself. Sometimes maybe a view of nature, like something out of a window, a forest, but not much else. So like you say, it seems pretty normal what people post on social media all the time. But then there's the actual tweets, the actual messages this account sends out. They're tweets like these.
The history of Syrian false flags exposed. Reports of chemical weapons attack in rebel-held town of Douma are fabricated. The goal of such reports is to aid terrorists.
And all of this has got her a huge following on Twitter. More than 125,000 followers, to be exact.
That's huge. I mean, that's more than a lot of journalists get.
Yeah, that's a good point. More than a lot of journalists, a lot of top journalists, including some who have been covering the Middle East for years, including some of our colleagues here at the BBC. Unlike our colleagues, though, very little is known about Sarah Abdallah. It seems her presence is entirely based on social media. She has a blog, but there's no posts on it. She has no published stories in English or Arabic. She calls herself an independent Lebanese geopolitical commentator. That's on her Twitter bio. But let me show you this picture. If you take a look in the background...
Yeah. Right, okay, that doesn't look particularly Lebanese.
No, I mean,
it's another close-up selfie of her. We should explain.
There's a reflection.
Counting is in the other one, but in the background, yeah, that doesn't look like a scene that we'd see in
Lebanon. There's a reflection of a house and fencing that looks typical of North America, not the Middle East.
Clearly. Yeah.
It's hard to know what to make of this account, what to make of Sarah Abdallah. But we do know one thing.
In our analysis of the anti-white helmets part of the network, she was by far, Sarah Abdallah, that account was by far the most influential.
This is John Kelly. He's the chief executive of Graphica, a social media research firm. Graphica carried out a study on behalf of the UK-based Syria campaign. Now, the Syria campaign, they're supporters of the Syria Civil Defense Group. That includes an emergency response team called the White Helmets. Let me tell you more about the White Helmets. They operate in opposition-held areas in Syria. They provide rescue and medical services. They've been the subject of two Oscar-nominated films. They've been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. But because they operate in those opposition-held areas where rebels fighting the Syrian government have control, their detractors see them as evil. Graphica and John Kelly uncovered a network of people who are preoccupied with the White Helmets. They analyzed 20 million messages.
On the pro-White Helmet side, you've got, you know, the kind of Syrian exile community that oppose Assad. You've got politically liberal Middle East policy watchers that basically support them and oppose the Assad government. Interesting group on the pro side, but an even more interesting group on the opposition side, which is has kind of two dominant sets of participants, one of which is a cluster that is focused on promoting Russian interests and the Assad government that includes just overtly pro-Putin Russian troll accounts. I mean, they're not even trying to hide it. But then there's others that are supporting a kind of set of personas that have been set up as experts on the Syria crisis, but from a basically supporting Russian foreign policy point of view. That's Sarah Abdullah, Vanessa Bealey. There's these kind of folks that are being promoted by that side who are deeply opposed to the White Helmets and accuse them of being terrorists and are basically trying to cast them as the villains in the conflict in ways that open them up as legitimate targets of violence.
So let me just underscore that point. The top influencers in this anti-White Helmets network call themselves anti-war, but at the same time, they're calling for the bombing of emergency services. John Kelly mentioned another influential account in there, that of Vanessa Bealey. Now, we know a bit more about Bealey than we do about Sarah Abdullah. She describes herself as an independent journalist, and she has more than 30,000 Twitter followers. We asked her for an interview. We send her a list of questions. In response, she called our story a, quote, blatant attempt to silence independent journalism. But John Kelly says that what she's doing is not journalism at all.
We've looked at dozens of these disinformation campaigns. What we found in the Syria case was a pattern of online behavior which was very close to things we've seen before. In fact, when you're looking at these disinformation campaigns, a lot of the same characters show up for every party, you know, which is one of the ways that you can tell that it's a disinformation campaign as opposed to an organic groundswell or kind of organic emergent conversation about something.
I've been talking about influential Twitter accounts spreading disinformation about the Syrian conflict, among them Sarah Abdullah and Vanessa Bealey. Now, I want to give you an example of exactly how this network works. A year ago, there was a suspected chemical weapons attack south of the city of Idlib.
Assad is an interesting character because he is apparently intelligent enough to win a war, a civil war. But right as the U.S. is about to leave, then Assad goes, oh, we need to gash children.
This is influential American conservative Mike Cernovich talking on a recent live stream from a few weeks ago. Last April, after that alleged chemical weapons attack I mentioned, he started a hashtag, hashtag Syria hoax. And basically, people were using this hashtag to allege, without any foundation, and contrary to a later UN report, that the chemical attack near Idlib was somehow staged or somehow a hoax. In the days after the attack, Syria hoax was a worldwide trend, despite the fact that, like now, there were still investigations ongoing.
So what's the link between this American conservative and the Twitter accounts that we've been talking about up until this point?
Good question. Graphica, the social research firm, found definite links between these two groups. American conservatives, hardcore conservatives, are following members of the anti-White Helmets network and vice versa. I went back and I looked at who was the most influential tweeter pumping out these hashtag Syria hoax messages. And one of the names that comes up at the very top of the list is Sarah Abdullah. To try and make sense of this, I went to an objective source on social media in Syria. I spoke to Scott Lucas. He's a professor of international politics at the University of Birmingham here in the UK. He's the editor of a news and analysis site called EA Worldview.
If they had simply been an individual account on Twitter that is just blaring out Assad good, opposition bad, Syrian army good, White Helmets rescuers bad. If it was just a single account on social media, well, now you just say, okay, that's just part of the chatter. That's part of the white noise that you put up on a day-to-day basis. But the ability of social media, of course, is for these folks to connect and to magnify their individual voices by getting people to retweet what they put out, even if it has no basis in fact, even if it is in fact flagrant agitation or disinformation. And if you get a dozen and then dozens and then hundreds of people to spread your unfounded assertions, then you start to have influence. And then if you get someone like an organized entity like the Russian state that takes notice of you, that actually likes what you're doing, then you make this leap into supposedly becoming, quote, a journalist.
Scott Lucas was clear on one thing. What these people are doing is not about asking questions and admitting what they don't know. The war in Syria has made reporting very, very difficult. What we really want to strive for is a legitimate search for the truth versus propaganda.
It is absolutely right to question all narratives, including official narratives, of what is happening. In other words, just because you question those who defend Assad does not mean you're giving the U.S. government a pass. You're not giving the U.K. government a pass. You're not giving the Syrian opposition a pass on what they may claim. The key is that you don't actually start with a narrative. You establish what is true, and you establish what may not be true, or indeed what may be false. And I think the danger here is that we get a move from unreliable information, from conspiracy theory, which can be spread by any side in the conflict. But in this case, the unreliable information, the conspiracy theory, the smear campaigns by those who are defenders of Assad, not only seeps into, it is taken up by more established and what we would think of as more reliable outlets.
Scott Lucas of the University of Birmingham here in the UK. And we featured this story on our blog, and you can see the pictures that we've been talking about at bbc.com/trending. Just a reminder, you're listening to the BBC Trending podcast. We're on Twitter and Facebook, and we want to hear your feedback. If you've got a minute, please also go back to where you downloaded this podcast from, give us a rating and leave us a comment. It really helps to spread the word about this programme.